I appreciate what Brent said. You know, as I look out into the faces of the pastors that are here, I just wanted to let you know that the things we're about to talk to you about really can be something that'll be a great source of encouragement to you, a great expansion of your personal ministry, and a great way to really invest in a young ministry couple. And so if you don't currently have an intern or an assistant pastor that's at your church, you may be thinking, well, I can't afford one, or we're in a small church, so I shouldn't do it, or whatever. Hopefully, by the end of this next few minutes here, you'll be able to be encouraged to consider this very, very important kind of ministry. You know, as we let's go ahead and start the slides there for me. You know, one of the things that okay, let's see. There it is. You know, as we think about the internship ministry. By the way, let me just introduce myself again. I'm Kevin Schmidt. I've been up in Sonora for 27 years this February. That's kind of hard to believe. And like I said, during that 27 years, there were some things that we did that didn't work really well, and there's some things that we did that did work well. And all the pastors here can say, yeah, we kind of relate, you know, what works well and what doesn't, so forth. But the internship program, again, was something that worked very, very well for our church. So again, I'm hoping it'll be encouragement to you. You know, this is not a Bible study or a sermon. This is going to be just pretty much all practical. I'm going to refer to a couple of passages, and that's about it, and then just get into just the real practical aspects of how to do what we're talking about here. You know, as you think about the concept of mentoring and internship and so forth, it goes back a little ways. Obviously, there's biblical illustrations, but also in ancient times, there was, of course, Homer's Odyssey. And the hero in the Odyssey is Odysseus, and he's getting ready to go fight in the Trojan War. But the thing that's really, really foremost on his mind before he goes to war is that he has a son, Telemachus, that needs a father figure in his life. And so before going off to war, Odysseus really seeks out a wise sage somewhere in his kingdom that can really teach his son how to become man and how to really live and so forth. And so he finally found this man who had just filled a bill perfectly while Odysseus was away, and guess what his name was? Mentor. And so we get the name mentor, mentorship, from this teacher from the book Homer's Odyssey. Of course, in the Bible there's lots of illustrations of internship and mentoring and so forth. Jethro and Moses, this is not a young situation. Moses is already 80 years old, you know, at this point. But Jethro gives some good advice and support and so forth to Moses. Then, of course, there's Paul and Timothy. And Pastor Vaughn referred to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning about how that Paul invested in Timothy, and he was supposed to also teach other men. You're supposed to teach other men and so forth and so forth. And so there is a biblical principle, obviously, of sharing with people, trying to get them to grow and so forth in ministry. Of course, we're familiar with Jesus and his disciples, right? But of the 12 disciples, there were three that were the inner circle that Jesus spent special time with and invested in a special way. So we have plenty of biblical examples. And so you guys are in the ministry. You know the concept of internship and mentoring and passing things along pretty well. But let's talk about a definition. This is the definition that I presented to our church, and I thought I would present it to you as we started talking about this back in the 90s. Here's the kind of program we're talking about. The church internship is a program. It's actually a two-year program. Now, I know some of you have had summer interns, but we invite a young couple, not just the young man by himself, but a young couple, we invite them to come for 2 years to our church. That gives them time to settle in. That gives us a chance to get to know them. Really, 2 years is not very, very long. You're just learning all the names by 2 years. And so 2 years, though, is long enough to be able to have, I think, a larger impact than just a summer type of a ministry. During that time, they have an unsalaried position. So if you're in a small church, I'm in a small church. I have a church of about 75, 85 people. And so we don't have a large budget, so we can't really afford an assistant pastor. You may be also in a small church and say, well, how would we afford to have an intern come? Well, it is a bivocational thing where they find a job in town and then they also minister in your church. And that's a tough way to go, but we'll talk some more about how that worked out for us as we move forward. So it's 2 years long. It's unsalaried. Also, pastoral couples can gain. It says here in my notes here, the church internship program is a 2-year unpaid ministry opportunity whereby newly trained pastoral couples under the direct oversight of a seasoned pastor can gain experience and guidance. You know, so you're a lot of young men. I mean, you remember what it was like when you were 22 years old, 24 years old, 25 years old, and you graduate from college, and you have the theology and you have the book knowledge, but unless you've been raised in church your entire life, there's some guys that get saved, and then shortly after that, they find themselves training for the ministry. They don't really have a lot of experience. And one of the things that is true, too, is that sometimes when you do graduate and go into an assistant pastor situation, it's not always your most fond ministry experience. Your assistant pastor. Maybe you've experienced that where you graduate, you become assistant pastor, and you look back and you say, well, I'm sure glad I lived through that and moved on to something else. Not all the time, but sometimes. And so we've kept that in mind, too, as we've developed this here. All right, so it gives them experience and guidance. So this is a way to actually take someone who's got the book knowledge and then give them an opportunity to gain experience in a way where there's not the pressure of having the title assistant pastor. They come as an intern where everyone that's there, themselves and everyone in the church, understands that they're gaining experience and they're learning, which sets a different tone. If you just hire someone to come, say, be a youth pastor, you have certain expectations. For one, you expect them to know how to be a youth pastor. Okay, and you expect him to put in certain hours and all these various expectations. But if they come as an intern, you expect them to not know it all, and they can gain experience without that pressure of having to do everything perfectly, because everyone expects them to be on a learning curve as they move forward. So it's a good deal. All right, purpose and motivation. Let's talk about this a little bit as far as some of the thinking behind what we're doing here. And so the purpose here is to serve as a vehicle to bring ministry couples from Eastern Bible colleges to the state of California with a view towards seeing them remain here after the internship. And so that was our thought. We were thinking, actually goes back to when Harry Seidel was here years and years and years ago, and he was starting churches in California, and he moved away, and I was thinking about, well, what can we do to continue to bring men from the East Coast and bring them to California? And there was a pastor in Arizona that was actually doing this kind of a program, and so I don't remember if I talked to him directly or got some material or whatever, but so many of these ideas did come from him, so it's not unique with me. But again, it's an idea to how to take ministry couples from Eastern colleges, bring them to California, but we make it clear when we talk to them, we really plan for our interns to stay in California. Do you have a burden for California? Do you see yourself long-term staying in California? Now, of course, we're not the Holy Spirit, and if someone goes through our internship and then really, really feels led to go back east, of course, that's between them and the Lord, but we make it clear up front that we're really hoping that they'll stay in California if they come and do an internship program with us. Now, one of the things we want to do is provide a positive and loving first church environment that allows for personal and professional growth. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting used to my microphone here. One of the things that we did is we stood back and looked at our church, and we said, what does our church have going for us? Okay, we're a small church and, you know, smaller ministry and so forth. And one of the things we thought was true of our church as we stood back and looked at it is we thought, you know what, our church just really has a positive environment. It, you know, when you walk in the door, it's a sense of unity. It's a place where encouragement takes place. It's also a place where people feel loved when they come. And as I thought about my first ministry experience, it wasn't a very positive and loving church first ministry experience out of college. And so as I looked at our church, I was thinking, I really believe that our church can provide a first ministry experience for young pastors and their wives that will be a real positive way to encourage them and carry them along and really just be to them, again, a positive influence for them after they graduate. And also, of course, a loving place where, as a young pastor comes, the wife and the husband will feel like the people at our church love them and love their children. It's just, again, a place where they can grow and blossom and things like that. And so we wanted to provide that for young ministry couples. You know, we also wanted to expand the scope and or enlarge the footprint of our ministry. The notes are changed. They're a little bit. as we looked at our ministry and said, well, there's some things we can do, there's some things we can't do because of size and so forth, we really wanted to say, let's increase the span of our ministry, the footprint of our ministry. What else can we do to invest in God's kingdom? And this is one of the things that we came up with, that this is something we can do. We can invest in pastors. We can invest in a young pastor and a young pastor's wife, and we can love them, and we can try to nurture them, and we can invest in them, we can love their kids, and we can try to give them an opportunity where they can grow and expand and be their own person, and hopefully be a way of helping them have a wonderful first ministry experience, which then better prepares them for moving on to a full-time position in a couple of years. And so this was something that we really felt we needed to do. Now, as far as motivation, what was our heart's motivation in all this? One of the things that, I guess this didn't make it into the notes here, but one of the things that should be in your handout there is the overall motivation. Let me see if that's in your notes. It should be. Is it? Okay. Overall motivation. Overall motivation, to invest and serve, not to benefit. To invest and serve and not to benefit. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, our attitude was this. Our attitude was not, let's see what the needs are at Grace Baptist Church and then think about, hey, if we get an intern, maybe that will meet our need. So we have, let's say we have a need with children, a need with teen, a need with this or a need with that. We didn't start this by saying, what are our needs? Therefore, we should get an intern. Instead, our thought was, how can we invest in a pastor and his wife, regardless of how they meet our needs? Our first thought was, how are we going to meet their need? How are we going to invest in them and love them and be a positive thing for them? And so that was part of our motivation from this from the very, very beginning. So if you're hoping to start an internship program, I recommend that you take that tack, because it gives you a different attitude from the very get-go. So the attitude is not, you have this expectation that they're going to fill this slot, this slot, this slot, and this slot. Instead, there's an expectation of you are going to fill a slot in their life, and you're going to meet a need in their life, and you're going to be encouragement to them and help them. But you personally have to be the kind of person that wants that type of a ministry in your church, needs it, once it, and so forth. All right, let's move on. Testimonies. Well, Brent already talked a little bit about how it was a benefit for him. Janice and Brent came in 1997, and I think they had a newborn with them. I think Timmy was newborn when he came, 3 months old, so he was itty bitty. And so Brent and Janice showed up, and they were in our ministry from 95 to 97. And then Pastor Charlie Eldred, who's in Hayward, and what's the name of his church again, Brent, do you remember? Fairway Park, that's right. And so he was our intern from 98 to 2001, and of course he pastors in Hayward, and then John Schmidt from 09 to 11. And we should put Reverend on there for John, because he was ordained just a couple months ago, and so we helped him through that process. And so we're glad that John is with us. You might recognize that last name. He's my brother's son, so he's my nephew. All right, so John, why don't you go ahead and come and just give a testimony and talk about the internship program from your perspective, okay?
All right. From my perspective, I got to do pretty much everything that I would want to do or could do. And so it exposed me to a lot of different things. Some things that I was not good at, some things maybe I'm still not good at, but things that I am working on, such as song leading. And so some of you might be really good at it. Some of you pastors still might not be very good at it. I am not the best at it, but hopefully I'm getting better, as well as just having the opportunity to preach and to teach Sunday school and work with the teens and the kids, as well as to even baptize. And that was such a neat thing for me to be able to do, as well as even allow me to lead people or teens to the Lord and allow me to baptize them. And so that was very unique, something that I've never done before, but I really, really enjoyed. Now, the whole, Vocational.
Bivocational.
Yeah, working and doing ministry at the same time and then have a family also. Very difficult. It is hard to work a full-time job. And I have a one-year-old daughter, and she's great. You'll probably see her running around. And it's hard to juggle those things. And so when you think about having an intern, think about, well, yeah, I have to have someone that's going to be able to juggle those things. I won't get overwhelmed, as well as sometimes you have to help them. And Pastor Kevin has helped me in different ways, as well as invested in me. He was talking about not what you can get from the intern, but what you can put into the intern or fill that slot. And for me, that was true. Many times we sat down in the office and talked about different things that would happen in the ministry and things that I haven't come in contact with yet, but that I'm being prepared for. As well as he said that I got ordained recently, and that was exciting. A lot of studying, different things went into that. Matter of fact, some of the guys here were on my ordination council, and trust me, it was me and Kevin, Pastor Kevin, spending a lot of time there in the office, going back and forth. Okay, so what do you think about this? And running some ideas by him, and so it was very beneficial to me. And at the same time, and I don't know if this ever goes away, but when I look at even you guys here or Pastor Kevin, I still feel like I have a long ways to go. And Pastor Snow talked this morning about counseling, and he said, you know, when I first got into the ministry, I realized that I'm not prepared for this. And he said he went and talked to his deacons and said, I need to get prepared for this. And there might be things that come up that maybe we didn't go over, but I know with God's help, as well as I can always call him and say, hey, this thing came up and I don't know what to do. And so not only does it give me a way into the ministry, it allows me to serve in some way, but also gives me someone to get in contact with when I have questions. And what do I do about this? And I can feel like I can come talk to him. And so that's kind of where I am. And I'm happy to be there. Matter of fact, my internship is over. I've been there for more than 2 years now. And so I might be leaving. I don't know. We'll see what God allows me to do as me and my wife pray about it. But I do know that the church would not want me to leave. And they enjoy having me there and working with the youth. And to tell you the truth, I love working with youth. It is great. And so praise God that he gave me this opportunity.
I want you to be sure to meet Brooke, too, down here, John's wife, Brooke, and beautiful little Madison is in the nursery, I guess. But one of the things that, we'll get to this a little bit later, but just kind of jump ahead a little bit, one of the things we like to do with our interns is make sure they attend the FBF meetings. I want everybody, all the other pastors in California, to have face recognition and name recognition of every intern that comes through our church, because the day is going to come where their internship leaves. They're going to want to get out. They're going to want to pastor somewhere in California. And so we want the men in this room to know them and to know that that's their heart. And hopefully someday they'll be able to move into a pastorate or start a church because they're here. One of the things that is Pastor John's thought as far as God's will for his future is he's mentioned that though he's not exactly sure what God has for him in the future, he can see himself partnering with someone who is starting a church in California and doing a two-couple partnership to start a church. And he could see himself doing that. And so if you know of guys that are starting churches in California that are interested in that same kind of thing, then be sure to contact John Schmidt, because that's the direction he believes at this point that God wants him to go. All right, let's go ahead and move ahead here. Let's talk about scope here. Now, when we talk about scope in your notes there, what I did is I just listed a whole bunch of things. Okay, so I'm not going to go over these, and I'm not going to spend time on each one, but this is just to give you an idea. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just a partial list. But just think, especially guys that are in the ministry, when you graduated, there's a lot of things on this list that you had never done before. And so all of a sudden you find yourself as an assistant and you're on salary and they maybe they expect some of these things. But what we do for our intern is we give them all these opportunities and it gives them a chance to grow and to learn and so forth. And so you can look through all of that list there. At the bottom of that paragraph it talks about we recognize that all men are gifted differently and so we seek to be sensitive to these differences and not try to force round pegs into square holes. Also, each man's secular employment situation and schedule will be different. For these reasons, we prefer to look at the above list as opportunities rather than mandatory responsibilities. So we try to give them, again, all kinds of different things that they can do during their internship. And also, ministry topics. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. You can probably look through here very quickly and see things that you would add if you were the mentor on this. But these are all sessions that we either do the reading assignments or we meet weekly and go over things. And these are some of the different topics that we would cover. And so you have plenty of things, obviously, that you can talk about. As you get interns, some of the interns have some of these topics and some of these experiences down where you talk about it one time and you move on. Other interns of background and education are different. And so everyone's different. Everyone's personality is different. And so some guys are stronger in one area, weaker in others. Other guys are weaker and stronger. So everybody's different. And so you just adapt to the person that God provides for you. So you have ministry opportunities and you have ministry topics there. Okay, the ideal intern. Let's talk about the type of character that the young man will have to have if he's going to be an intern. Not all guys that have a Bible college degree, a master's degree, whatever it is, not all of them would make a good intern. But there's some that will be good interns, and so there's a couple of things that they will need to have. And one of the things they'll need to have is a teachable spirit. And I think a teachable spirit is important because they have to admit that they have a need. In other words, when you first talk to them about coming to your church to be an intern, you know, these would be the things that you talk to them about. You have to say, now, do you really believe that this is going to meet a need in your life? And if it is going to be a need, are you willing to take instruction? Are you willing in the right spirit to be corrected if you do something wrong? And so I've talked to our interns before and just said by agreeing to come to our internship program, you're agreeing to allow me to correct you. So that they know in advance that this is part of the atmosphere that if they do something wrong or they don't, you know, handle such situation the right way, that already in advance they've given me permission by agreeing to an internship that they will let me talk to them and correct them if they do something that's wrong. Also, there's a humble spirit there, and one of the reasons I mention this is because you have to be willing to work a secular job after receiving a ministry degree. You know, so here you are, and you're working 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. You get your degree, and one of the things you're thinking of doing is going and working and getting paid for it. What a novel thought, right? Well, if someone goes into our internship program, they realize that even though they've got their degree and they spent lots of money on it and they've all finished it all up, and a lot of people they know are going into paid positions. They're not going into a paid position. They're going into a unsalaried position. And so it takes a very unique person that will say, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to get paid. I'm going to work a job in town. And so that's why you're not going to have all just guys beating your door down hoping to be an intern for 2 years in a small church, because it's a very humbling thing. It requires a humble spirit, I should say, to be willing to do that. Also takes a disciplined life to do this kind of a thing, as Pastor John already mentioned. Of course, some of these things you don't know until after they get there, right? But hopefully, as you interview them and talk to them, you can get a sense of what they're like. A disciplined life that can juggle family, work, and ministry. But, you know, the idea of working a secular job, I never apologize for that. There's all kinds of pastors in California that have been bivocational. Some of you might be bivocational. It's just the way it works. A lot of times in California is you work a secular job while you pastor. Also, the demands on your time as a pastor are very demanding. You do have family, you do have ministry, you do have all kinds of stuff going on at the same time. So when the intern comes and he's having to work a job and do ministry things and do family things, it's almost like, well, yeah, welcome to ministry. This is just kind of how it goes. And so hopefully they'll learn right away that it's going to take a quite a disciplined life if they're going to keep up with everything that they need to keep up with. Also, there needs to be this attitude of being called. So this called attitude that can give its best in a temporary situation. So this has to do with heart, right? Like we talked about this morning. The idea here is that the intern needs to be a fella that as he comes, he needs to sense in his heart, God has called me to this 2-year ministry. And the reason I'm here is not because I was invited by Pastor Kevin or whoever, but the reason I'm here is because God himself designed this for me, and just like he called me to go to school where I went to school, just like he called me in the ministry, he's called me to this internship. And so while they're there for that 2 years, there has to be this attitude, yes, it's a temporary thing, but I'm still going to do my very best to the glory of God, because God has called me to this particular spot at this particular time. So that's going to be important for any intern that might want to come to your church. Benefits to the pastor in the local church. Let's talk about this for a little bit. Now, even though our motivation at the very beginning was not how will we benefit, for the pastors that are here and you're listening to me and you're hearing the things that you know that we've talked about so far, what do you think? All right, so now this is going to be back and forth a little bit of discussion here. How do you think I've benefited personally, or how do you think you would benefit if you had an intern? So someone talk back to me for a little bit. What do you think the benefits to the pastor would be? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the benefits I've personally received are fantastic, wonderful blessings. So even though my thought wasn't, hey, I'm going to get an intern and get blessed, still, though, the benefit that I have received is wonderful benefits. The blessing of seeing people grow in ministry, the blessing of lifelong friendships, the blessing of seeing guys blossom and have good success in the ministry has been a wonderful benefit to me. Other benefits, what do you think, Tim? Mm-hmm. 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 See their purpose fulfilled. Okay, that's true. All right. Yes, that's right. Anything else? Yeah, Mike. Good. Amen. All right. Benefits to the pastor. How do you think I've benefited, again, from having three different interns go through our church? Jim?
I would think you would have to really sharpen you've got to put everything on paper, come up with the program, your philosophy of ministry, mm-hmm. what you're going to teach, you've got to put it all on paper.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, just to do it,
because you just do it, don't think about it, yeah. Right. So it helps me stay sharp. So if I know that John's going to be watching every single thing that I do, then that is takes me to a different level of accountability. And because if you're here as a pastor, you can understand that perfectly. So here you bring in an intern for the very purpose of encouraging them and training them in ministry. That puts a big burden on you to make sure that as you do things, that you do it the right way. But not just teaching type things, or not just administration, but personal stuff too. My personal life has an extra level of accountability, because there's a young man that I know that I'm living in front of and trying to be a good example to. Yeah. All right, so that's some of the ways that I've benefited. How about the church? How has Grace Baptist Church benefited because we've had interns come through? And how do you think a church like yours might benefit if some interns came through? Right, it really does. And so our church sees this as part of their ministry. So when an intern comes to our church, they see it as part of their responsibility to love them, love their family, give them opportunities, go easy on them, if their sermon doesn't, doesn't really match up or whatever. And so the people have a sense of ministry about this, so our church benefits in that way. Yes, sir, Walt. That's right. That's right. That's right. Because every intern that's come through is totally different than I am, and so that benefits our church to have that different personality, different temperament and gifts and stuff like that. So our church is benefited by that those additional gifts. That's right. Brent.
So I know when I preach that Moses lifted up the serpents wrapped around the snake, the snake wrapped around the pole, gave the opportunity for one of the deacons to really mentor me. Say, hey, you made a mistake, and to watch my response to that. And so maybe you can criticize the intern, not the pastor. So.
Did someone criticize you about that at our church?
Well, I mean, it was a genuine mistake. It's not
oh.
American Medical Association.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I bet he did, yeah. Okay. All right, other benefits? Yes, sir, Ron, yeah.
I would probably guess the church learns the role of a pastor and some of the realities and mm-hmm. behind-the-scenes nature of a pastor mm-hmm. by watching an intern learn from them, which is a little bit difficult for a pastor to teach his people, but it's a way to keep them through that door, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's true. Yeah. All right, other things. Mike, yes.
Well, as far as the church benefit as well, you're doing a church plant like we are. The whole church will be involved in the plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, very good. Other ideas? All right, by the way, I've been talking a lot about the intern pastor and some of his benefits and stuff, but the pastor's wife benefits too. And so I'm not going to have Brooke come up and talk about it, but a part of our goal in having a married couple come is so that my wife can also invest in the pastor's wife. Now, my wife doesn't spend as much time with the pastor's wives as I spend with the intern, but there is regular times where they get together and talk about ministry things and mentor one another, and so it benefits the pastor's wife as well. For the pastor's wives that are here, perhaps you can think back in your mind, would you have benefited personally if as soon as you graduated, your husband graduates, you go right into ministry, and all of a sudden you have this new title, pastor's wife, would you have liked someone, another pastor's wife, that could have just, come alongside you and encouraged you and gave you advice and let you talk through things? I think it would be a beneficial thing, and it's turned out to be at our church a very beneficial thing. All right, let's go ahead and talk about some financial things. You might be thinking, what's the investment? How much will this cost if we do it? Because it's unsalaried, so does that mean there's no money at all that's involved? No, not quite. There is some money that's involved. One of the things that we do in our internship program is we commit to move them to California. So no matter where they are, what state they're in, what school they go to, they graduate, we pay to move them to California. You say, well, how much is that? I think it's about $2,500 this last time, I think, right? Something like that? Can't remember. It's something like that. I think it's $2,500 to move from coast to coast. Now, it just so happens I moved all of our interns from South Carolina. I tried to get some interns from other various Bible colleges around the United States. So far, only BJ students have worked out. But so all of our young people, all of our intern pastors, I should say, we moved them from South Carolina. So what we did is we put a big map on the wall. And we figured out how much it would cost per mile. It's around 3,000 miles. And so we figured out how much it's going to cost per mile. Then as the money started coming in, we started charting across the United States where they would end up. And so I'd get up in the pulpit on Sunday and I'd say, we've got the Schmitz as far as Tucumcari, New Mexico, and I wouldn't want anyone I know to have to live there. So please, let's not make them only get to Tucumcari and stay right there because it's the pits. And so they give more money the next week and so forth. So we make it kind of fun, and we chart their progress, and we have the big map on the wall and stuff like that. And our folks have been very generous to make sure that the intern actually makes it to Sonora. So there is that cost, and we take care of all those bills coming across country. Also, every time Pastor John preaches, we give him a $100 honorarium every time he preaches. And so that's money that he makes every month as well. So just like if you have a guest speaker come, you put that in your budget and you pay for that. We do the same with Pastor John, but it's not a salary. It's just a once-a-month honorarium thing. By the way, we've labeled all that housing. Missionary. We've taken him on as a missionary, and so we support several missionaries. Our church does. One of the missionaries that's on our missionary display is John and Brooke Schmidt. And so they're missionaries to Sonora, so they get monthly missionary support. So we give them honorarium for preaching, then monthly missionary support, and that is only like $185 a month. And then meetings, one of the things we do too is like when John wants to come to the FBF meeting, we pay his registration to come here, we pay his hotel to stay here, we want him to come. Also, if he misses any work to go to some type of a meeting or some type of a church thing, we pay his lost wages if he has to miss work in order to come. So that's one of the ways that we invest in him as well. So those are the three financial obligations that we've made. All right, plan of action. How do you really start this? If you want to, you say, okay, yes, I'm convinced. I want to start an internship program. What do we do? The first thing you got to do is share the vision. You got to talk to your elders, Pastor Vaughn. You got to talk to your deacons and the people of your church and start saying, you know what? Here's an idea that has really got me thinking. I really believe God may want us to do something like this. What do you think? Here's what happens. Here's how we can expand our ministry and invest in a small ministry in a young ministry couple. By the way, let me just kind of pause for a little bit. I don't want to go too long, but I can remember when I was in my 20s and first started attending FBF meetings in California. And some of the older guys would do things to really encourage me. I still remember driving somewhere, who knows where it was, I was driving down the highway, and as I'm driving along, this Cadillac passes me, and then it slows down and gets beside me, and it's Tom Knopf, it's Tim's dad. So I'm going down the highway, I'm in slow lane, Cadillac passes me, slows down, and it's Tom, and he's going like this, you know, like, hey, follow me, let's go get some lunch. And so he went to the next exit, because it was about lunchtime, and pulled off, bought my lunch, talked to me for a while. And I still remember that, and that was probably 25 years ago, Tim. And so I was people invested in me. There was another guy that pastors here in California, Ron Allen, used to pastor here in California. And I had Ron Allen come to our church and do special meetings because I couldn't afford to have an evangelist come. And so I asked him if he'd come and do them. And, of course, we took a love offering and stuff and gave it to him. But he spent more on my family the week that he was there than we gave him in love offering for the whole week that he preached. He walked past my car and he said, your tires are really bald. I'm going to buy you new tires. He bought me four new brand new Michelin tires for my station wagon and took us out to eat to a nice restaurant and just really, you know, made us feel special and invested in us. And so now that I'm in my upper 30s, you know, I'm thinking about it. I need to pay back some of this that people have done to me. And so this internship is a way for us to pay back a little bit. So you share the vision. Then also pray for provision. You know, make it a prayer request. Put it on your regular prayer sheets that you pass out at your church. Say, okay, Lord, if it's going to happen, you're going to have to really provide not only the money, but also the right person, the right couple. And you network with peers. Of course, if you have a Facebook page, you can put something there, LinkedIn, you can do something there. But what I did is I just started talking to everybody I knew, letting them know, this is a ministry I think the Lord wants us to do. So back in the 90s, I'm driving down some road in Seaside, California, because there's been an FBF meeting here at this church, and I'm riding in this pickup truck with Don and Linda Morgan, and we're driving down the road somewhere, going to a restaurant or hotel or something, and I said, oh, you know what I want to start at my church? I'm going to start an internship program, and it does this and this and this, and Linda Morgan said, well, what about my daughter? And I said, well, sure. So, Brent Snow's wife, Janice, was a Morgan. And so the reason, the way I got their name was through Don and Linda Morgan. I found out about Brent Snow and made contact with them, and then they came. Charlie Eldred, the reason we were able to connect with Charlie is because one of our young ladies in our church went to Bob Jones. Charlie was her boss. The first day of work, he's finding out where everyone's come from and all that kind of stuff. Where are you from, Nicole? Or I'm from California. And he says, oh, you know what? I think I'd like to minister in California someday. And then he goes on to the next employee. Well, then that girl tells her mom that's in our church, and then she tells me. And so I call Charlie on the phone, and he ends up coming to our church for 3 years. So there was that kind of a network. And I'm related to this guy over here, so he couldn't get away. So network with peers. So again, tell everybody you know this is what you're doing. Everybody in your church, all the pastors that you meet. If you meet a student from some Bible college somewhere, let's say you're dropping kids off for camp and you meet their counselor, then ask them. You know, what college are you from? And you know what? I have an internship program in our church we're trying to start. I am looking for someone who has a heart for California that might want to come and minister in our church for a couple of years. So you just tell everybody you know and get the word out. Also, communicate with prospects. I still have letters in my file, Brent, that you first sent me back in the 90s when we first made first contact, also from Charlie. And so we started communicating back and forth. That was when we used to write out letters. Remember that back in the 90s? And so so you start, after you get a prospect, you start answering questions, telephone calls, emails, and stuff like that, and try to nail some things down. Also, I think Brent and Charlie also, I think, visited before they actually came, and so that was part of the process also, so they could meet us. And also, you got to generate the funds. And so, again, there's the you have to start putting some funds together, and then you have to pursue employment and housing. All right. So, what happened in our situation is, like Brent said, he went several months without a job there, and so we start looking for work for them before they arrive, and we start looking for housing before they arrive. And so, with Brent, several months went by, and we're thinking, okay, we know the Lord brought him here. We all the way across the country. It's obvious he's supposed to be here. No job, no job, no job. So he's on the very day, or it's a couple days before he's getting ready to take a job 45 minutes away at a fast food place in another town, the phone rings in my office. And I pick it up, and the guy said, I'm from Asplund Tree Company. And before we advertised for employees, I thought I'd call all the churches in the area. Do you have anyone in your church that needs a job? I just happen to know of a young man who does. And so Brent worked for Asplund Tree Company, cutting poison oak for 2 years. What a wonderful memory. And so that's what he did. For housing, we put, he's still itching, yeah. For housing, we start getting the paper, looking for all the housing, talking to landlords, trying to set it up, you know, whatever papers we have to sign to make sure that it works and so forth. And for Charlie, what we did is we put an ad in the paper, went something like this. Trustworthy tenants was the first heading. Ministry couple needs short-term rental for temporary internship. No children, no pets, and something else. You know, call whatever. And so we put that in the paper. Phone rings. My office. Pick up the phone. It's a man from India. Hello, this is Alan Ramsaran, and I owned rental properties all over Sonora. And I believe the Lord wants me to tithe one of my rental properties to your intern couple. I said, amen. It sounds wonderful to me. And so I hang up the phone after I get the address. And then after I hang up, I think, oh, man, it's probably going to be a dump. You know, it's going to be really bad. And so I'm thinking, all right, what am I going to say if it turns out to be a really bad place? I get there. It's this beautiful triplex across town. And just a beautiful place. And so I walk in the backyard, and there's one propane tank back there. I said, well, how would you know how much each tenant's propane bill is for each month? And he goes, oh, utilities are included. And so we gave free utilities and free rent to our intern, just because we put an ad in the newspaper and God provided in that way. And so for our church, what a wonderful thing for our church to see God provide in these very, very special ways. I got to prepare the people, of course. You have to say, okay, there's a new pastor coming. Here's how you're going to treat him. You have to give honor to God's man. And here's, you know, if he makes a mistake, here's how we're going to deal with it. As he grows, here's how you deal with it. And just know that this is a God-called person. And so when he shows up, be sure to just really invest in him, really love him, and really give him a first ministry experience that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Here's our interns from Grace Baptist Church. Mentoring is a deliberate personal relationship that has lifelong impact. Thank you very much.